Good morning, everyone. Happy Mother's Day. Thank you for coming. I appreciate it. I think the people that were meant to be here are here, and it kind of goes along with my sermon today, which is going to be, basically the topic is going to be the alchemy of balance, and I'll get there eventually, but I'll have to show you how I got to this thing, and it's really a balance about our normal, mundane human lives and our spiritual selves, and how balancing those two things can allow us to live in a happy way and enjoy life and be the people that we want to be. Now, I used to always think that everybody thought like me when I was growing up, right? I didn't realize that people had different thoughts and motivations and things. I always thought everybody thought the same way that I did. And when I was young, I always had this feeling of my main thing inside of me that's driven me that I must have came with was I want to be a good person. Like, that's what was in there. I want to be good. And even as a kid, as stubborn, I was like, okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to be good. Like, I just had that in my mind as a young child even. And then I went to a Christian elementary school for like kindergarten, first grade, and second grade. And it was nice, and I accepted Jesus into my heart then. You know, like I was just drawn to it. Oh, this is what I need to do. So probably 5 years old, I accepted Jesus and went through all that, went to church every Sunday and did all that for a long time. You know, the world is a difficult place, and we see all these things happening all the time that can affect us mentally and cause us to act in ways and feel different ways that are not helpful to us. You know, there's death, there's sickness, there's all these things. People keep on getting sick that I know. And I've had a lot of people get sick and pass, you know. And going to these churches and stuff and going to like the youth classes and stuff, eventually I started seeing hypocrisy where I was like, well, that's not what Jesus was talking about. He's, you know, I love Jesus. He was just awesome. I was like, he's the greatest. I'm going to go by the time I'm 30. I will be successful if I can do what he did. And then I was like, oh, maybe when I'm 40. And I go, oh, I got a few months till 50. Let's see. But maybe that's just not the way it's meant to be. I don't know. I guess I'll just keep trying to as long as it takes to get there. But, you know, that's what I had. And then I saw all these people that would just even say things that just go totally against what Jesus was about. And they're talking about it. And I realize now, you know, in their defense, we are humans and we're flawed. You know, so even though they were being hypocritical, you know, maybe that's not their fault either, you know. We're humans and we're flawed. That's the one main thing that we need to take away. We have this issue, so that wasn't it. But for me, it was just so hypocritical that it really bothered me, and there was a lot of other things. I used to have a lot of anger at times. I'd get really, I mean really angry. Like, I've been so frustrated with just life. I took a sledgehammer to my car one time, busted out all the windows, headlights, taillights, everything, just mad. And I've only been angrier than that and frustrated more than that one time, which was when I had my first divorce and my kids were gone and all this, and that was tough. And those are the kinds of things that we deal with, right? In this lifetime, we have these experiences that are so horrible where you're just like, man, why is this like this? And I had pretty much lost my faith in the Christian way of thinking, because there was just a lot of things like, how can all this stuff keep on happening? Like, and it didn't happen in this order, but here are some other things that have happened. My one boss that was a good friend of mine, he was only a couple years older than me. He's had his own company. I was working for him. This guy, man, he was just like, he'd light up a room. When he goes in, he's talking to people. No matter how many people are there, you're the person that feels like he's talking directly to you all the time, no matter how many people are there. Just charisma, right? And he knew all these people with all this big money and all this stuff, and he had a beautiful million-dollar home. And when I went to work for iRacing, all of a sudden I get an email from him. He has ALS. And then he had weakness in his arm, and then he just kept deteriorating. Then next thing you know, the next time that I saw him, he couldn't raise his own arms up. And it was just heartbreaking, you know? And you're just like, man, why is the world like this, right? That's what you think. That's what I thought. Why is the world like this? Why do we have to go through this stuff like this? And that's one thing that, for me, the Christian religion could never answer. Because it was always like, it's God's will. right? Oh, it's God's will. That's kind of the overall reason behind it all. And to me, it wasn't a good enough answer for me because I want to know why. You know what I mean? If that's God's will, then God's cruel, because how can he make all this stuff happen for no purpose? Right? That was kind of my thinking on it. Because to them, I'll just follow the commandments, do this and that. It's God's will, whatever happens. And maybe it is, but the understanding of the why wasn't there. So I kind of went on my own way, and I started getting books like on mediumship and manifesting and stuff, and I found this one book on manifesting where the author was just so brilliant he couldn't dumb down what he was writing. Okay, he couldn't write it for a normal person because he was just too smart. Went to Cambridge. Just brilliant his whole life. And he was always referring to Buddhist terms that I'd never heard of. So, like, I thought, oh, I'll get a book on Buddhism, and I'll have the same language that he has, at least in this one way, and I'll be able to understand what he's talking about in this sentence, at least. And so I started reading Buddhist books, and I was like, wow, this is awesome, right? I couldn't believe it. I was like, hey, this is a good philosophy. This is a good way to live. All right, you just, you know, you're kind to everybody. You meditate. You try to not attach to worldly things, right? And all those things. And it was good. And I moved down here. And when I first moved down here, I lived in a townhouse in Cary. And there's a Buddhist center right across from the fairgrounds. And so I started going there. And the military always drilled me to get places early. Get there and then, right? Get there and then wait around if you have to, but get there first. And so I'd get there early, and there was this one other guy that was there early who'd been there for a long time, and I'd go in and I was talking to him, and he did work at prisons where he'd go and talk to people about Buddhism and stuff and try to help them, you know, with their lives, to make their lives better. And so I respected that, and we'd talk about what we enjoyed about Buddhism and all these things. And I saw him a few times there early in the morning. He wouldn't be there every time because he would go to the prison sometimes. Well, one night, I was at home, and I think I was looking for a house to purchase at the time. So I was, like, flipping through something, and the news was on. This is, like, I don't know, probably 11 o'clock at night, and it was the local news. And I wasn't watching it. I was just listening to it. And then I hear, oh, there's a man's been murdered in Raleigh tonight at this outside of this club. He was shot and killed. And I'm listening to it, and they go, oh, we have his father here for a comment. And I was like, oh, this is going to be something. And then I hear the father, and he goes, I feel sorry for the boy that shot my son. He's brought a lot of suffering on himself that he didn't need to. And I was like, man, that guy is enlightened. And I look up, and it's the guy from the Buddhist center. And I was like, wow. And right then I was like, there is somebody who is not a hypocrite. There's somebody who found a path of truth that they believe in and actually can live it. And I was like, you know, wanting to be that good person, I was like, that's what I want. I want that, and I don't have that. I don't have the faith to just go, okay, it's okay. I would have been angry, really angry, right, if my child had been killed. But he had gotten to that point, and I was like, that is what I want. That's where I want to be. How do I get there? I still don't know. You know, how does he have this faith so strong? So then one day I went to see a medium, and then I ended up finding this place, and I came just because I wanted to see what the mediumship was like here, how it worked, all that. Didn't really know anything about it. And I came, and I wasn't looking for a religion at all. I wasn't looking for the sermon. I didn't want to hear it because I figured it would be like every other one, but it wasn't. And it was, I don't know, truth, I guess, touches you in some way, and then you just go, oh, okay, that's kind of how I feel about stuff. And then I started, kept on coming back every week, and it was like, oh, I kind of believe that. And there started being answers to the questions that I had that I didn't know there were answers to. Because I figured all these religions that exist, they must already have figured out as much as they can figure out about it, and then this is their answer. It's God's will or whatever it is. And I'm not knocking the Christian religion because it's a beautiful thing and it can help a lot of people. If it helps you be kind and you can accept that as what can give you the faith that you need to keep going forward, because there is truth in there too, then that's good. That's a good thing. Buddhism, too. If you can find the answers that you're looking for there, man, it's a beautiful thing. And it reminds me a lot of just the experiences that we see all the time with people being sick, people passing away, all the suffering that we see in the world every day. I mean, it's overwhelming. It can be really overwhelming. And really, that's what led the Buddha to finding his answer, which was to not attach to things, right? Because he saw the suffering. He was kept, his parents kept him locked up inside their palace because a medium had told them, your son's either going to be a great king and ruler of men, or he's going to be a great religious leader. And the parents wanted him to be a king. So they didn't want him to go out and go into the world and do this. But when he ended up going out, the first things that he saw was all these suffering. And he was like, oh, I didn't know there was suffering, because inside his palace he had it all perfect. So it really hit him hard. And then he went out to start meditating, and he was looking for the answer. That being said, for me, the answers still weren't there for the why. But the one thing that Buddhism does have that I didn't find in Christianity was any problem that you're having, they have a good solution for it. Because they'll say, if you have a problem with forgiving people, here is a meditation to do. You envision people, you see it like this, you don't see them as separate, you see them as a group, you know, whatever. They have a method behind every different kind of problem that people have. There's a method how to fix it. And I liked that a lot, because it wasn't just don't steal, don't kill, don't, you know, all those things. It was, hey, if you have an issue like this, because that's what you're trying to do, is fix your issues, right? It's hard to just say go along with the thing. Anyways, what I found here was the answers that I had been looking for that made sense to me. And putting those answers into practice is what led me to be where I am now. Like I'll say, I don't get angry like I used to at all, right? Like that frustration is completely gone. I'm generally happy most of the time. I can't be triggered very easily into getting angry. I don't know, I probably still could get triggered because I am not perfected yet, but it kind of just isn't there. When I see somebody sick or whatever, I have a different perspective on why that is. And so it lets me be able to deal with it in a way that I can see, okay, it's part of God's plan, right? And why it's part of God's plan. And I will get to that in a minute, but the one other thing that I had found when I was coming here is that I watched Reverend Connie, right? She's not here, so I can say this today. So I watch Reverend Connie, right, all the time. Every week you come. And if you don't know, if you only come one or two times, you don't know. She's just a minister here speaking. But if you get to know her and you see what's going on, she's been, came here, started this chapel with Stan. 16 years later, they're still here. She doesn't make any money, right? She teaches everything that she's learned from all of her teachers and what Spirit has said when they've come out. And for 6 years here, there was no physical phenomena that we could see. She was just telling us what it was like. So you kind of just go along with it and you say, okay, well, you know, you start thinking logically and you're like, there's only two reasons why she would do it. And the one is that she's completely insane because she's not making any money. Who would do it? Who would go through the hassle of doing it? Nobody, unless she's insane. And she is not insane. I'll tell you that. You can just tell she's not insane. The other thing is the things that she says make sense to me as valid reasons of why different things are the way that they are. Okay? Thirdly, Spirit has come through mediumship in lots of ways and given me answers to questions, things that have happened that there's no way anybody could know, that they tell you the same thing that what Connie's telling us every week up here. And then with physical mediumship and having direct voice and speaking to Winston Churchill and asking him questions, how do I know that you're really who you say you are? You know, what should I be doing? Should I be doing this and that? And getting answers that actually helped me, right? That are legitimate answers to me that I can accept and go, yep, I believe it, right? And him telling me how to be able to tell if a spirit is not who they say they are and all these things like this, because those are all the questions, right, that I have. Well, how do I know? Could be subconscious mind, could be this or that. And I'll tell you right now, what happens with Warren is not a trick. I can say that for sure. I know there is something extraordinary going on there. I believe that it's ectoplasm and spirit talking to us. There's something going on there that's not fakery. All right, I'll say that for sure. And to me, with Connie's experiences, and I trust her because, like I said, she's no hypocrite, right? She's actually doing it, and she's just doing it. She's not doing it for any other purpose other than to help people. Like another example is when my dad passed, a medium had come here and doesn't know anything about me, and she's like, and doesn't know anything about my dad, and she's like, oh, your dad's here, and he's saying, you were right, there is no man up here sitting on a throne. He goes, it's all energy. You are right. I got tingles all over right now. She's going, you were right, it's all energy. Now, first of all, she wouldn't know that my dad thought differently. Secondly, she wouldn't know to tell me that. Like, that is a perfect message for me to go, because I would tell him how things work, how things are. He'd come here for Christmas service and other services and stuff. I mean, there's just so many proofs of mediumship that I can't go into them all. I would be here all day. So let's talk about balance for a minute. So in the Kabbalion, which is written by the three initiates who were initiates and followers of Hermes Trismegistus, with Hermes the thrice great. He was basically a metaphysician, and all of his teachings are the seven principles of metaphysics. Okay? One of those is everything has a pole. Okay? Everything has a pole. Hot, cold, right? There's opposites in everything. Okay? And the one example that they use with, like, is like, in all different ways, there's a pendulum that can swing from one pole to the other. And a lot of times it's moving on its own, right? It's like we're happy, we're sad. If we don't put any effort into it and we just go and don't think about anything that we do and just let our emotions run us, it's all over the place, okay? And so what the followers of Hermes were able to do, were able to stop that pendulum from moving and get to a place of balance. And even above that, be able to put that pendulum at any place in that spectrum they wanted and hold it there so that they could achieve any state of mind that they wanted. And that's like the master level. If you can do that, that's like you're the master on that aspect of metaphysics. So as it applies to our human ego self and our higher self being opposites, right? That's the way that I see it, where they're opposites. Trying to get to that place of balance between the two, because we are definitely at least dual beings at this point in time here on this plane. And we have the ego, lower self mind that just wants the me stuff, the jealousy stuff, the anger, the things that just, you know, the human mind decides that it wants, and the higher self that just wants spirituality, love, this peace, joy, all the wonderful, beautiful thoughts and feelings. But we need a balance between the two, because if you don't have the spirituality part, you end up in the place that I was with anger and frustration, because the things that happen in life have no meaning for you, and there's no way to understand what's going on. So it just seems hectic and everything chaotic and you can't figure it out. If you go too far on the spiritual side, you go meditate in a cave somewhere, you become disassociated with this world. You can't relate to people anymore. You can't help them with anything. You can't understand the pain they're going through when somebody passes, their sicknesses and all these things. And so there is a balance that we need to achieve there so that we can live in this life and be happy and still be spiritual and follow a spiritual path. For me, this religion is the answer to that. Now, what is that balance, I guess? For what do I see as being that perfect balance? So the one thing is, we're all individuals, okay? Like, I see us all as a big bouquet of flowers, right? We're all our own individual flower. We've come with our own life plan, right? And we've come with our own experiences, and we're all in different spots on what we've experienced and what's happened to us in our lives. So we're all these individual flowers. And when a flower, I say flower because a flower just is a flower. It's not trying to be the flower next to it. It's not trying to be anything else. It just is what it is. And that's what we are. We're all these beautiful, holy creatures inside of this shell right now, okay? And we need to try to find that place of what our life path is and how to live in the way that agrees with our the way that we go on. So the one thing is that I've found is Spirit kind of guides you through life in a way. I feel like it's like a magnet that attracts you to certain things and pulls you away from certain other things. So they have a way to keep you on track for your life path by like, oh, I'm more interested in this. I'll choose this way. And they know how to get you to go the right way to follow your life path to keep you on track. And if you get far off your life track, they have something that they can do that causes a total catastrophic event to push you back to where you said you wanted to be when you came. So that's like one of the answers that, I mean, Connie talks about it a lot, but that's one of the answers. We chose to come here, and we chose our own life path. Okay, and that's what Spirit has told her, that's what she's told us, that's what other people have said, and to me, so I can accept that as an answer, and it makes sense to me. Then there's the answer, why is there suffering for this person, right? Because they chose it. Because the whole purpose of life, what it really is a series of challenges that we need to face and overcome in the best possible way and to see them for what they are. Okay, that's what it really comes down to, just a challenge after another challenge after another challenge. And when you master the challenge that's in front of you, then you're not presented with that challenge again. Then they'll give you something else because it's all about growth, and we decided to come here to grow. Why people get sick, and Connie said a few times for different people, why they couldn't be healed. First of all, it's not in their life plan because they decided they didn't want to be able to be healed. They wanted to be sick so they could have more compassion for sick people on the other side because they might be a wonderful healer, and they want to also incorporate more compassion for the people that they're working on. So they come to experience that and do that. So this magnet that pulls you around, right? Like you like certain things, you don't. But sometimes we have a fear of doing something that we want to do, though. Okay? And I'll give you an example. I like to paint miniatures, right? Like that's something that I like to do. So I have tons of hundreds of miniatures. When I went up to work the other week, I took them with me and I was going to paint them in the hotel. And I had told my boss, oh yeah, when we went to lunch, yeah, I'm in the hotel, I'm just going to paint the thing. And he goes, hey, how about after work you come over and show me how to paint miniatures? Because he's into that too and he has a bunch of miniatures. So I was like, sure, it's no problem. So I go over there, he shows me all the stuff he's got. Boxes of Army Men miniature models. He's got a big box, brand new, expensive set of paints, brand new airbrush, compressor, brushes, everything, but all still in the box, right? And he's like, yeah, I'm afraid to start. I'm afraid to start. And I'm like, dude, you can't be afraid to start or you'll never get good. You have to just start. You just have to pull out your paint brushes and start putting paint on something. I go, that's how you get better, and it's going to be better than what you think. You're going to be better at it than what you think. And what is the worst thing that's going to happen? You know, that's what I would call an irrational fear. But we have these fears of doing things that maybe would make us really happy, you know? And he was like, he sees that would make him happy. He got all the stuff for it, but he's afraid to start, you know? But maybe that's a big part of his life plan and being able to enjoy his life is to overcome that fear and just start doing it. I mean, it seems stupid, but I'm not afraid to try just about anything. Like I was interested in acupuncture, and I'm not recommending that anybody do this, but I went out and I never had acupuncture, but I was like, I'm interested. So I bought a bunch of needles. I bought a book on how to do it, and then I just started practicing on myself. Now, I wouldn't say to do it, but I was like, if somebody else can do it, why can't I do it? I learn by hands-on, not by book, and that's all hands-on. So I figured I would try it. And yeah, but I'm not afraid to try anything that I feel like, oh, I'm not afraid to try it, I'll try it. And that's one of the things. Don't be afraid to try anything that you're interested in. You know, that's one of the things of life is Spirit wants us to be happy, right? They want us to be happy. They want us to enjoy our lives. And basically a big part of that too is living for today and in the moment. You know, we start going, oh, what about the future and all this? Like I remember in high school, I think that was the worst time of my whole life, and I think my daughter's going through a lot of it now, because you get to a point where you go, oh, I need to figure out what I'm going to do for my life. And she's going into high school next year, so she's like, I got 4 years, I got to plan it all out right now. And that's what they did to me too in eighth grade. You got to plan out what you're going to do, what classes are you going to take, because you need to get here. I didn't know. And even when I graduated, I didn't know. And then you're worried about, I got to come up with money for bills. I got to find a place to live. I have to be able to earn a living. I mean, that is a hard time of life to try to get through and sort out. And the reason it's a hard time is because you're trying to look way into the future. And we don't know what that's going to bring. So, like, it's just better just to stay in the moment, do the best you can do with wherever you're at right then at the time. And all those things. So what it really comes down to for me is staying in balance in both ways. It comes down to finding a perspective that makes sense to you and that you can live with. And the perspective that we give here about the reasons for why thing happens and why things happen, to me, just makes sense, and I've seen proof and proof and proof and proof of it again. And until that time that something else comes up that proves that wrong or proves something else that means more to me, this is where I'm going to be. And so I just wanted to say, you all are doing great for coming here today, because you're indulging that spiritual side, even if it's just once a week. You know, that's the other thing. We go through these changes. I don't pray all day long every day. I almost don't think of Spirit except for a couple times a day, and that's enough, right? We go through changes. Sometimes we're like, oh, I'm going to read spiritual books for 6 months. That's all I'm going to read. Then we go into, you know what, I'm just going to paint. I'm just going to enjoy my time. That's what Spirit wants. There's no pressure to ever get anywhere. So it's all about those things. And so thank you all for coming. I hope it helps you in some way. Happy Mother's Day. Love you.